Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis of 2020 and the Great Depression of the 2020s, much like the Great Depression of the 1920s and 1930s. We are striving to identify rational voices in the midst of the mental institute. We are grasping for the remnants of rationality on this radio program, especially for those of you who have OD'd on Fox News and CNN, all the major news sources. So always striving and grasping for whatever remnants of rationality still exist about us. And so we're going to be giving you a panoply of rational voices on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. First, from constitutional attorney Mike Ferris, who is a friend of this program. And I believe he works with Alliance Defending Freedom Now. He is the executive director of Alliance Defending Freedom. Constitutional attorney Mike Ferris says the general principle that governors can take actions to protect the health of citizens is not in contention. But he says there's a material difference between the old-fashioned quarantines requiring sick people to stay in seclusion and trying to require everyone to shelter in place. But he says the problem I want to focus on in this article is this. Okay, here we go. These shelter-in-place orders all make a distinction between essential and non-essential services. Winners and losers are chosen with very serious consequences. While that sounds like a reasonable idea, it is a construct that can and does lead to absolutely arbitrary and irrational distinctions. Drive-in restaurants are okay. Drive-in churches, not permitted. And he gives a number of other examples. These denials of equal protection and rationality are not merely unconstitutional in application. They are, in my view, constitutionally suspect in the way they were created. These categories should be created by legislators, not governors. There should be public debate and evidence on the rationality, legitimacy, and efficacy of these rules. Governors could have announced one-week temporary orders and then called the legislature into session, meeting online, of course, and the legislature could hear the evidence, listen to the constituents, and vote. In a republic, laws are made by elected legislators, not governors. We are destroying people's livelihoods at the whim of well-meaning but inherently arbitrary decisions of single individuals. This deviation from constitutional democracy must not be allowed to become established precedent, and so on he goes. So yet one more insight from somebody who is a very much respected constitutional attorney in America. All right. Also, various pastors are weighing in on this, and an older pastor whom I've respected very much over the last 20 years, he pastors in Louisiana, ventured onto Facebook last night. And listen to what he says. What are we learning with more accurate and full data? Well, it's becoming more and more clear that we just destroyed our economy, caused over 17 million people to lose their jobs. That's 22 million as of this morning. Permanently destroying thousands of small businesses, seriously undermined constitutional liberties, released thousands of criminals, turned the citizenry into state informants, embraced crippling debt that will result in incredible rates of inflation, opened the door to increasing suspicion paranoia, and caused untold suffering upon the present and future generations. Also, that we might protect ourselves from a virus that has over a 99% survival rate, and there are still politicians and citizens who are demanding that the current state of things continue indefinitely. Only a self-centered, self-worshipping populace can accomplish this majestic of a disaster. Well, didn't my pastor friend from Louisiana overstate the case? I'm not sure that he did. There are so many questions. There is so much that everybody doesn't know. What is the death rate? Where are the random samples? Where is the path to herd immunity? One researcher on Fox News just this week said the death rate is as low as the flu. Well, if that be the case, then why aren't we treating it like we treat the flu? You don't even know what the death rate is until you've figured out how many people actually have it. And that happens when you do a random sample in a given population. And that hasn't happened yet. So without all of this data, we still rush to judgment and shut down an entire economy. And by the way, Deuteronomy does point out that you take a man's wheat grinder away from him, it is the same as taking away his life. That is, you take away his livelihood, you've taken away his life. So to take away a man's economy is equated to the removal of his life. And this is what our leaders have done, my friends. They are not rooting themselves in biblical principle. They're not interested in the wisdom that God could give us from his word, but rather given to whims. Bad worldviews lead to bad decisions, poor governance, and poor reactions to problems. And that's why I want to talk to another pastor from Phoenix, Arizona area. Pastor Jason Young is joining me on the Generations broadcast today. He has a series of videos that he's been broadcasting through YouTube, All Scripture for All Life. That's the name of his channel. Pastor Jason now joins me on the Generations broadcast. Jason, welcome. It's good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Pastor Jason, it seems to me that we have a lapse of rationality going on right now. I'm guessing there are a lot of people sensing this. And there are root issues. And what you're trying to do with your TV broadcast via YouTube is, I think, to identify the root problem. What is our problem? There's something wrong with a modern mind. And can you get to that? Are you getting to that, do you think?
I believe so. And I believe that because of what the scripture says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so the lack of rationale is because we don't fear God, we don't keep his commandments, and we're not walking with him.
Yeah. And that's super, super obvious because, you know, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is throughout the wisdom books in both Old and New Testaments. I think of Ecclesiastes ends. And, of course, Solomon is a man endowed with supernatural wisdom. And he ends his book on wisdom with the whole conclusion to the matter is to fear God and to keep his commandments. And that's exactly what American universities, what American politics, what American governance, what American public schools have repudiated, explicitly repudiated. They are repulsed by the idea of the fear of God and humility. And I would include our governments in those who, by and large, have completely repudiated the fear of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. So what do you do? what do you do? I think, you know, judgment begins in the household of God. And it seems to me that we need to come back to the church on this one, don't we? Do you think the churches are teaching the fear of God?
There's many apostate churches that are not teaching the fear of God at all. And I think God has given us a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. Benjamin Franklin said, you'll be governed by God or by tyrants. And so, you know, God's giving a taste of what tyranny. We've had it really good in this country because of Christianity, because of our forefathers who did have a fear of God. And we've been blessed tremendously. But as we've sinned against God directly and so boldly in the culture, and the church has not countered that in many respects. We're definitely reaping what we're sowing.
You know, there's way too much support for the public schools or those government-sponsored schools that have utterly repudiated the fear of God. Any worship of God, any prayer to God, any thanksgiving to God offered in the science classes or the history classes acknowledging God's sovereign hand over all of history. All of that has been repudiated by the public schools, and yet the pastors in this country refuse to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute. The beginning of knowledge and wisdom is the fear of God. We must utterly reject all government schools. We must utterly reject all government education that refuses to acknowledge the foundation of all knowledge and wisdom. So and that hasn't happened very much. It needs to happen, like now. Like now,
right.
If any kind of rationality will return to our institutions. That's, you know, one thing. The other thing is your most recent video you produced through your YouTube channel, All Scripture for All of Life, refers to the two responses to the COVID-19 virus. And contrast those two responses.
Yeah, so when men fear God, it's a natural byproduct of the Christian faith to produce a limited state government, because it encourages the self-governance of the jurisdictions of the family and of the church. And so this nation was blessed with a strong Christian influence that produced a decentralized government, a limited government that was defined by our Constitution, and that gave freedom to be responsible for the families and the churches that did have a fear of God, that could self-govern under the Word of God. And that's what brought about the blessing of limited government. So that's the liberty. That's the foundations for liberty. As we reject God and His governance over our lives, over the daily life defined by Scripture through the Lord Jesus, then God gives us over to what we want, which is we want to do what we want. So when men reject the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. They want centralized power. If they reject God's power and God's governance, then they go to the state and they want the state God to save them. They centralize power and authority in one man in the state, and they worship the state, and we're seeing the result of that centralized power, which I would call tyranny and judgment, as we're seeing these behaviors by our state legislators and governors overstepping their jurisdictions and creating much havoc in our culture.
So it's two different perspectives towards tragedy and problems and disease and all these things. And that is, I guess, who you look to as a savior then. And so
that's
there's
right.
This contrast in our country between those who will look to God and those who won't look to God. If they're not looking to God, where do you think they're looking?
Right, well, they look to themselves, right? They don't have, like you're saying, they don't have the rationale. They don't have the wisdom to respond in trials. And James 1 says, you know, count it all joy because trials bring wisdom. Well, if they don't look to God, they won't have wisdom. They'll look to anything and everything to save them other than the one true Savior who can actually save them and support them and give them wisdom through the trial. And that's a problem.
Right. And, you know, the other thing is, here's one more thing that's irrational about all of this, is God is competent to save. Donald Trump is not. I think people need to realize that the government really isn't there to save you. I like to contrast doctors and God. Doctors develop band-aids. They can sew up wounds with thread. God heals the body at the cellular level. And that's 100 billion times more impressive than band-aids. You see the difference? I think people need to step back for a second and say, now, wait a minute. Who's more impressive here? Is God or scientists and the medical community very good at masking problems with drugs, very good at band-aids and sewing with needle and thread? But when it comes to healing the body itself, the cellular reproduction and the cellular healing that is accomplished by God himself and by his creative wisdom is 100 billion times more impressive than band-aids. And I think people are going to figure that out about this economy. This idea of going into another $8 trillion, no, make that $17 trillion, no, make that $147 trillion of debt to save our economy is beyond foolishness, beyond foolishness.
Yeah, the people say they want to save themselves. You know, whatever form it takes here, the government or self-salvation. People want to save themselves. So God has brought us to the point where we cannot save ourselves. We cannot fix our economy. We're doing the wrong thing. We're going the wrong direction. And this is the generous judgment of God. This is a light affliction he's given to us to try to wake us up so that we would turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ, turn to the Word of God, turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ that is our only hope and our only salvation.
Are you sensing that people are waking up? I mean, is there a possibility for revival right now, do you think?
Well, as I walk through and I talk, I'm in Arizona, so we have a little more freedom. As I talk to people, they are definitely more aware of their need. And it is definitely a much easier conversation to ask people about God because they are feeling their needs, that they are inadequate and that they need help. So in that sense, yes. Now, are they repenting? That's what we're praying for. We're praying for repentance, that we would repent, that the church would repent of our apostasy and that the culture and the sin, we need to repent of our sin. But there's definitely a more of an awareness of our needs, of our mortality, of our humanity. And that we are in a place of need. And so that makes the discussion of the gospel that much easier.
And Jason, I hope that people will begin to connect the dots. They're afraid of disease. They're deathly afraid of disease. There's a question about that. They're in masks. They're in gloves. They're in, you know, hermetically sealed suits as they shop for their eggs and bread at the grocery store. They're deathly afraid of disease. Well, if they connect the dots, disease means death, so they're afraid of death. Well, death means judgment because of our sin. So they should see that the problem is not the coronavirus. The problem is the sin that has corrupted their hearts, the vile, horrible wickedness that completely dominates the human heart and from which we need the salvation of Christ. And if they would just connect these dots, why are you afraid of death? Because you're afraid of judgment. And judgment means eternal hell fire. So, of course, you're afraid. So, and that is all due to sin, and Jesus came to take that condemnation upon himself, that curse upon himself on the cross for us. Now believe in God, believe in Jesus as Savior. Okay, if they would just connect a few of these dots, you know, can we get to this paranoia about disease to the point of realizing the judgment of God and fleeing that judgment by faith in Christ? That's the step. That's the connecting the dots I would like to see.
Yeah, amen. And as you connect those dots, and Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the dead, therefore, we don't have a spirit of fear. We want to have wisdom. And wisdom is doing the right thing before God according to his word. And that is exactly what gives us the confidence and the wisdom to go in a culture without fear, but with love for our neighbor.
Pastor Jason Young has a YouTube channel, All Scripture for All of Life. He's a pastor in the Phoenix, Arizona area. And Jason, this jurisdiction issue, this violation of jurisdictions, you think it's unbiblical? What's going on? I mean, do you think governments are violating God's law right now?
Oh, there's no question. And I believe the reason the governments are violating God's law is because we, the people, have violated God's law. And the government is reflecting how we've just trashed the jurisdictions. We've trashed the governance of God in our churches, in our families. Fathers not leading their homes, elders stepping outside or aside from their jurisdiction to shepherd the flock and preach the gospel. And so, absolutely. And you see that then at the state level, as the states are doing the same. And so we need a whole-scale revival. We need a whole-scale revival. God have mercy on us that we would be able to, like our founding fathers understood, understand the biblical jurisdictions that God established with his law word.
You know, it's extraordinary that so many Christians have been behind the move towards socialism under the present administration. I think it's impressive to me that there has been so little discernment on the part of Christians concerning governmental jurisdictions. Pointed out on a recent program that Lyndon B. Johnson increased federal spending as a percentage of the GDP by 4%. FDR is the other one that beat that record, as you remember, during the Great Depression, which he increased federal spending as a percentage of GDP by 6%. But our current administration has increased federal spending as a percentage of the GDP by an unprecedented 19%. From 21% to 40%, assuming the $4 trillion deficit, which is pretty conservative of an estimate at this point. So you've got, you've got three times the increase in socialism and totalitarian government under the current administration over anything that's ever been done by any socialist in the history of this country. What's your take on that? I mean, do you think this has taken the churches by surprise? Are Christians enthusiastically embracing socialism, do you think?
I think in many respects they are, because they're not connecting the dots between faith in God, Christianity, and the jurisdictions. And how the jurisdictions of family, church, and state, and when I say jurisdictions, I mean God creates that authority with his spoken word, and within that sphere sovereignty, within those jurisdictions, right, God gives the commands to declare how each entity should act. So in the family, the father, the dominion, in the church, the gospel, the Great Commission, and then the state purpose of the state is to punish evildoers and praise those who do good. And so when we step outside of the purposes of God, the jurisdictions of God, which give a beautiful foundation for liberty and responsibility, then socialism is the natural consequence of rejecting God. socialism is the judgment of God upon a land, just like it was in Russia, as they forgot God, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn stated, men have forgotten God. That is why all this has happened. As we forget God in our culture, in our schools, just like in Russia, they forgot God. They rejected God in the schools, embraced the socialistic school system, just like we did. Now we're reaping that same whirlwind as we forget God. And we see this massive growth in the state, which is crushing everything.
Right. So Solzhenitsyn pretty much nailed it. And, you know, I think as socialism grows, as totalitarianism grows, as we go through the jurisdictional free-for-all and a violation of God's law goes wholesale just about everywhere today, I think the conclusion is that Americans are believing in government as the savior more than they believe in God. I think that's the conclusion to the matter. Let me close with this quote that you provided on that one video that you did from G.K. Chesterton, because I think it pretty much wraps up what we've been trying to say on this program. Here's what G.K. Chesterton said. When men choose not to believe in God, they do not thereafter believe in nothing. They then become capable of believing in anything, including the stupidest things. That was my addition. So the point is, you know, once they don't believe in God, that gives them up to complete irrationality, which is what we're facing today with the COVID-19 virus.
Yes.
Well, friends, let me encourage you to this resource on YouTube called All Scripture for All Life. Pastor Jason Young provides this on a fairly regular basis. And these are short 5 to 15 minute updates on important issues and drawing scripture into application for real life today. Pastor Jason, thank you. Thanks for taking some time out and joining us on Generations today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.